A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hello and welcome to the Red Men TV. It is the instant match reaction. I'm Chris Pajak. That is Ben Kelly. No Paul Machin. Anyone who watched the live watch along will know why. Less said about that, the better. But we are here to discuss Liverpool's 2-0 victory in the Champions League first leg game against RB Leipzig. Ben, I've not really spoken to you about the game, mate. What are your sort of overriding thoughts?
Very, very impressive, and also what a relief. Two contrasting sort of crash of emotions, really. Like, you know, that's the Liverpool that we know and love, and it's a performance that is a lot more encouraging. And it's a, you know, I think we'd talked before the game, you know, you and Paul, certainly said it on your pre-match show, you know, that team that we put out tonight was certainly capable of a performance like that, and it's been capable of a performance like that over the last few weeks. You know, what little we spoke about the game, I said to you, that was the performance against Leicester for 75 minutes. The difference was here that we got us, well, first of all, we got ourselves a second goal, and, you know, we kept going, and we didn't crumble under any pressure and all that. Not that Leipzig, I'd say, put us under any real pressure for sustained periods of the game, but I think that came down to us dominating the ball, dominating the game, and ultimately, you know, making sure that we didn't give them chances to put pressure on us for long periods.
Yeah, no, I think that's right. And, you know, from my point of view, I'm like, that was brilliant. I certainly get that relief side of things as well. Like, there was definitely a little bit of that. Because what we've seen, you know, against Leicester, against Manchester City, is a good first half performance. It was not being able to put teams away. But second half, it was that sustained pressure, wasn't it, that I felt really put RB Leipzig into a little bit of a predicament and almost forced their hand into those mistakes.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think that's what Liverpool... I think that was going to go two ways. Leipzig were either going to be really, really dangerous on the counter-attack and really punish us, or we were going to have sort of the ability to sort of shut that down quite early. Marcel Sabitzer's a fantastic, fantastic player. He was very, very limited to creating opportunities tonight. You know, there wasn't much of that he could do. We knew all about the threat of Angelino on the left. He couldn't really get himself into the game. As I said, it was all about, you know, going into this game, it was all about who would be able to dominate the ball, and I think that was going to be the key. It was about dominating the ball, and it was about winning the midfield battle, and I think Liverpool did both of those pretty well tonight.
That's where Liverpool won the game for me. I think the pressure from the front three on that press, I think, you know, Leipzig start the game really well. First 10 minutes, Liverpool are struggling to play the ball out from the back. Then they understand the movement, it gets a little bit better. They understand how they're going to get their triangles around and how they're going to play out from the back. And Liverpool started to dominate there. There's a couple of times when Wijnaldum dropped between the centre halves, and we did that a couple of times. That worked, and then he moved into midfield, and it was about Curtis and everyone finding a little bit of space and stuff. But for me, intensity is what won us that game from the front three players. That's what we've not seen enough of, isn't it, over the last few weeks, is, you know, this high press Liverpool side, and Leipzig allowed us to be that, and almost I think that enabled us to sort of shed the Premier League as the game goes on, because we were allowed to play a natural game.
I mean, I think it makes a difference when you're playing a team who does somewhat want to go toe-to-toe with you and play football. Obviously, you know, I know that Manchester City and Leicester do that, but they're obviously both very, very good sides. You know, Leipzig, I think we've seen tonight that even though they're second in the Bundesliga, that they're maybe not quite as good as the top sides in the Premier League, and I think that's probably fair. But overall, you know, when teams try and play us at football, that does suit us much better than when we play a low block side. I thought, though, the energy, you know, as you said there, the energy in the midfield comes from Curtis Jones for me.
Yeah.
You know, nothing against James Milner, and, you know, he provides a lot lot in our midfield in a very different way. But, you know, ultimately he's 35 years old, and that instead you've got a 19, 20-year-old kid running around, and he could do it all night long. And I think that's what Liverpool have been lacking a little bit over the last few games. And there, Curtis Jones comes in. Personally, like, going into this game, I said to Ross on my tactical preview, I'd have given Oxlade-Chamberlain a go, you know. But I think maybe tonight might be a sort of a crucial, or, you know, we'll look back on this Curtis Jones performance for me to say this is where he really won that place in the side, because I think right now he's getting harder and harder to drop every week.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And look, you said it there, mate. You know, they might not be as good as the other sides. Well, they got to the Champions League semi-finals last bloody season. Yeah. You know what I mean? They're in the knockout rounds again. And Curtis Jones has been entrusted with a midfield spot in a huge game for Liverpool in knockout European competition. And he puts in a man of the match display there for us. That'll do his confidence the world of good. He's a confident young lad anyway. He probably doesn't need anything. But now he'll feel like he belongs, because he's done it on the top level of European football. We had a super chat coming from Gareth Baird. Thank you, Gareth. Great game and all. Glad we got a clean sheet. Well done, lads. Come on, you Reds. Let's just pick up on the clean sheet side of things. Yeah. How important do you think that was for Liverpool? And did you think we were going to get it?
Well, yeah, I was just going to say it's massively important, because I think when ever going into the game, all the talk was Liverpool maybe just need to stay in the tie, or Liverpool just need to make sure they get a goal and bring it back to Anfield or wherever we end up playing it, you know, still within a chance of going through. And Liverpool went, nah, fuck that. We're going to go through, we're going to score goals, and we're going to keep a clean sheet, and we're going to put ourselves in a really commanding position. It's not tie over, 100%. You know, it's not like Porto a couple of years ago where you go out and absolutely wipe them off the pitch. But ultimately, we've come away there with a really commanding lead. We're very good at home overall, and, you know, we've made it very, very difficult for Leipzig there to have, you know, any hope. Or put it this way, if Liverpool had gone away tonight and lost 2-0, you know, we would be feeling very, very dejected about the way this tie goes. That's how Leipzig are going to be feeling right now.
There was a lot of talk. In fact, Edward Andre Redwolf said major confidence boost to get a clean sheet. Yeah, absolutely, mate. I completely agree with that. There was a lot of talk going into this game about, you know, being a different competition. Will Liverpool be able to shed the baggage of the Premier League form and all that type of stuff? Now the conversation will focus not on that, but can they take that, what they've done tonight, and bring that back into the Merseyside derby and into Premier League football? If it's possible to leave one competition behind and come out and put a performance in like that, is it now possible for Liverpool, and will they translate that performance into the Premier League form?
Hopefully. And the thing is, the Merseyside derby is a difficult game anyway, isn't it? Because I know it's a cliche, but it doesn't really tend to matter what your form is. Both Liverpool and Everton have been in bang average form going into this, you know, if not below par. So going into that game, it was always going to be difficult to predict, because a derby is a derby. But I think Everton will be looking at that. They've got Manchester City tomorrow. If they go and get beat there, Everton suddenly are the less optimistic ones going into Sunday. You know, a week ago, we go and get beat at Leicester, we get battered by Man City. They'll be rubbing their hands. But, you know, if they go and lose tomorrow night, and we put in a really good convincing performance there, it's all about mentality and psychology going into these games. And I think, you know, just that little boost tonight, just that extra, yeah, ego boost off, yeah, we can do it. What's everybody talking about? We are this top side. We know that we're this top side. We'll hopefully be able to take that belief going into Saturday.
James Lim, £5 super chat. Thank you, James. Class, Thiago and Jones. Class, Upamecano. Poor. We looked immense. Would have liked the 10-minute cameo of Hendo midfield, but unreal performance. Confidence indeed. Let's just pick up on one part of that. First of all, we talked a little bit about Curtis Jones, we talked a little bit about the midfield as well, but Thiago's performance, was that his most complete midfield performance for us so far?
Potentially. I mean, we talked before the game on one of the shows about, you know, I think this is his first Champions League game for Liverpool, and he showed up. You know, if there were any doubters, I think over the last few games, and I must admit, I wouldn't say I've been doubting his future at Liverpool or anything like that, but, you know, just over these last few performances, I have struggled to see, I'll admit, I have struggled to see what he's offered us. Tonight was completely different. He did add that extra dimension for me. Just those, again, like the Everton and Chelsea games towards the beginning of the season, it's those passes that no one else seems to see, or nobody else quite has the ability to play. It unlocks doors. You know, it's an extra level of creativity that we don't often get from midfield. And the performances like that make me so excited for when, because I think ultimately this midfield moves into the best midfield being Henderson, Fabinho and Thiago. Yeah. I think that's going to be the best three. And performances like that from Thiago make me so excited for when that midfield's possible again.
Well, absolutely. For me, I thought Ox was brilliant. And it's gone under the radar, and it shouldn't have, but he's winning the ball back more than any other player on the team, and he's done that since he's come in. Now, we haven't got the wins, but that doesn't mean that he's playing badly. And I think what people have focused on is him losing the ball. Yeah, he loses the ball. Every player loses the ball, and if you want to focus on that, focus on that. But I'm focusing on the positives when it comes to Thiago. He's still bedding in. He's played two positions, maybe three positions for us over the course of a three-month period when he's coming off the back of an injury, and he still looks like he belongs. Of course he does. He's world-class. He's going to continue to prove that for me. Reece Owen, £2.99. Kurt Jones, properly something special. Ox is done. We'll come on a little bit about Ox a little bit later, but we've talked about Kurt Jones and what his ability is and what his level can be, but that performance tonight was brilliant. The other lad that I gave my co-man of the match award to, though, Ben, was Trent Alexander-Arnold. I mean, we saw a Trent Alexander-Arnold performance there, didn't we?
Yeah, I mean, particularly that first half, I thought the amount of creative, you know, balls that he plays, the opportunities that, you know, they don't necessarily come off every time, but Trent Alexander-Arnold, Andy Robertson does it as well, but Trent Alexander-Arnold, more than anybody on the play for me, has the balls to try things all the time, and that's what I really like about him. He's a young lad who knows he's got a decent right foot on him, as everybody else does, and he just goes, you know what, I'm good enough to play that pass. And again, it doesn't necessarily come off every single time, but in games like this at the very top level, this is why this kid has played in two Champions League finals and won one of them. He's a Premier League winner. He's won all these trophies by the age of 22.
He's a world champion.
Goes down in his honours.
He's won it.
Yeah, he's won. He's been a world champion. He might well be world champion again. But again, all these honours don't come at 22 if you've not got big bollocks on you to play passes and play ambitious balls. And tonight, I thought we saw loads of that.
Gary Lineker said that after the game, caught a little bit of it, and he said, look, you know, the best players try the hardest balls and they don't always come off. Mm. And this is what Trent Alexander-Arnold does. I mean, two of them for Mo Salah, absolutely outstanding. Plays that one through where Mo ends up one-on-one and Galacci makes himself big in the first half. Brilliant ball. Second one, I think he does the same. Mo Salah again, and Salah then runs into Upamecano, takes it away slightly to the right-hand side of the penalty area as we're facing their goal. Another great ball. Plays that one with the outside of his boot in as well, doesn't he, into the middle of the penalty area. But it was that ability and that drive and determination to hit the byline today. I had a little look at the pass maps, mentioned this on the player ratings show, Ben. Robertson didn't push as far forward as Trent today. Trent was forward. And I just wonder whether Liverpool have gone, and I might be jumping the gun here on this one, where they've just gone, play your friggin' natural game, Trent. Mm. You've sat back a little bit deeper than you have done in previous games, in previous seasons, apologies. And it's not really getting us anywhere. We're missing you in the business end of the pitch. From the get-go, from minute one, he was at the byline crossing the ball in, and he was pressing and he was harrying and he was playing balls into Mo Salah. Him and Mo Salah linked up better today than they have done in weeks. Weeks and weeks and weeks.
Probably helps that he's got a proper fucking centre-back next to him in the centre-half, you know what I mean? Like, even just the addition of Ozan Kabak. We've talked about it countless times that when you play midfielders or somebody like Nat Phillips, who's, you know, a little bit weaker at centre-half, we can't commit our centre-backs as our fullbacks as forward as much as we want. We can't allow them to be as creative as we want them to be or as they normally are. We can't allow them to be linking up with the wingers as often as they should be. And as we've said, it's like, you know, it's a house of cards. When the centre backs aren't there, they can't do that. Therefore, the front three aren't as effective, and it's just, it all goes wrong. But just the addition of Ozan Kabak, who, by the way, I thought looked quite good tonight.
Yes, we'll talk about him. Definitely.
You know, he just the addition and the confidence that he brings just by being there. He doesn't have to do very much. But he gives Trent the license because, you know, okay, there was a mix-up at the weekend, but what it gives is, you know, after a few more days in training, Trent probably is already starting to build a little bit of a partnership or relationship with him at the back now. And he knows he's building more and more confidence to be able to push on more and more like we've been used to seeing. And, you know, that only means that we're going to have, you know, that extra weapon back in our arsenal over the next
few weeks. Let's keep it on Kabak then. I think it's really interesting to move the conversation on slightly. There was a big call from Alisson to Kabak, and Alisson gets the ball in the first half, I think it was.
Yeah.
And that was beautiful to see as a Liverpool fan, you know what I mean? I mean, just after everything that happened last week and all that type of stuff, to see Alisson come out, scream at Kabak and Kabak, stop, let Alisson get the ball. But he does everything that he needs to do. And what I said on my player ratings show is, everyone wins the battles today. Yep. Kabach wins his, Henderson wins his, Trent wins his, Robertson wins his. We win that left-hand side of theirs, the right-hand side of ours. We win it all, and we win that midfield battle crucially. That's what was just brilliant. I mean, we haven't even talked about the goal scorers yet, but let's talk about Kabach before we do then. I mean, he's assured, and you see a couple of times in the first half, he's like, you know, just a little shift of the ball, moving past the man, playing a pass.
Matty Pesk at times. He's been watching the videos. He's starting to maybe think.
Is
about,
this
look,
kick going
to
be good?
I think he is. I think defensively, I think today, you know, I think there was a few concerns at the weekend that he looked a little bit slow, I think, and overall he didn't have that much to do against Leicester other than the one moment that we'll put to one side. But, you know, I think today, I think there'll be bigger tests for him, yeah, because RB Leipzig, a lot was made of the fact that really they don't have a great striker in the team. You know, they don't have a focal point. So, there'll be better tests for him. But, you know, I'm just reading here, he wins 6 of his 7 ground duels. He wins, you know, 1 of his 2 aerial duels. So he's winning 50% of them. Looks after the ball very well. He's got an 84% pass completion rate. Pretty much everything you want out of a centre-back.
4 tackles,
yeah,
as well.
Pretty much everything you want out of a centre-back. He gets himself booked, but, you know, that's not the end of the world. So does Jordan Henderson. I think overall that will do his confidence a lot of good. You know, at the end of the day, this is a very tough run of games that we, like, unfortunately, the bad timing of it means that Kabak has come in, mm-hmm, and he's had to play 2 tough games off the back of it. It's not really getting any easier because Everton's a big game at the weekend. But, you know, if he's been thrown in at the deep end and he's handling himself okay, then hopefully when we do come to a slightly kinder run of games on paper, you know, he will continue to build his confidence, and maybe by the end of the season we'll have a really top player, another top centre-back.
So one of the things...
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Life is full of awesome what ifs, and some not so much, like unexpected medical costs. That's why United Healthcare provides Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans to supplement your primary plan and help manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number 1 in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
We talked about before the game is obviously entering that different competition. Mentioned it a little bit earlier on the show. The other thing that we've not really spoken about is Klopp's press conference.
Because it makes me happy.
It was amazing. We've spoken about the press conference, but do you think the press conference has anything to do with the performance that we see today?
Maybe. I've not really thought about it until you mentioned it, but maybe. It certainly affected the fan base yesterday, I'll say that. So,
and Henderson talks about it in the press conference as well. So we have to step up and take responsibility.
So whether that mood lift, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it radiates to the players as well. It made me feel better yesterday because I think everybody associated with Liverpool now, we've got an emotional attachment to Jurgen Klopp. And when Jurgen Klopp isn't right, we're not right as a club at the moment. And that's how intertwined we are. So when Jurgen Klopp comes out in a press conference and he's looking significantly more uplifted than he has been in recent weeks, and he's, you know, back cracking smiles and cracking jokes and laughing off the rumours that we had the other night, and it uplifts us. I think it will uplift the players. It, you know, it'll give them confidence, and, you know, at the end of the day, the players will be going out every single game, and they're willing to die on the pitch with the manager. Mm. And I think, you know, when they see press conferences like that, it just makes them want that even more. And I certainly think, you know, now that you've mentioned it, okay, I'll admit it wasn't something that I thought about until you brought it up. But it wouldn't surprise me at all if that has translated to the performance. Well, rightly so.
I want to talk about one more player, Mo Salah. I mean, what he gets a goal, brilliant. Yeah. But what did you think of his all-round game tonight?
He was just so difficult to handle, wasn't he? You know, he was cropping up all over the place. Like he at times he seemed a bit deeper than normal. I don't know whether you picked up on that, but he seemed a bit deeper and a bit more in, like, bit narrower, more like almost as if he was straying into Firmino's patch at certain times and picking up the ball there. And once he gets on the ball, he's so difficult to get off it. You know, he's shrugging off players and he's twisting and he's turning. We did an instant match a couple of weeks ago, it might have been after West Ham or Brighton or one of them, where we talked about Mane and his unpredictability on the ball, and I think Mane had missed that game and we may be missing him a little bit, or we worried about missing him. But Mo Salah was like that for tonight for me, you know, picking up the ball. You don't know what he's going to do next. You don't know if he's going to play the ball. You don't know if he's going to have a go. You don't know if he's going to take on a man. You know, and I'll admit it's not often that you see that brilliant all-round performance from Mo Salah. You know, he might have a bit of a stinker, but he'll score two and you'll kind of forget about it and, you know, you get on with it. Tonight was one of those nights.
I thought it was a perfect team performance from Mo. That was the thing that stood out for me. You know, him helping Trent Alexander-Arnold out at right-back, you know, trying to get back and getting the better of Angelino in that area, you know, telling Trent to go inside, I'll get this one here, you know what I mean, and seeing that from him. But also, I thought the way in which he moved the ball on from himself, normally gets the ball, and he has a tendency to dilly-dally a little bit, doesn't he? Mm. Tonight, he was getting the ball, and he was popping it off quickly to somebody, and he was looking for his teammates before he looked about, can I get a shot off, or can I get inside and get a shot off, or beat me man? For me, it felt like, when he was on his own, he'd happily go one-on-one with them, Sam, because he's on his own. But when there was players in better positions tonight, he sort of tipped the cap and went, here you go, poof. That ball that he fizzes in for Mane, Mane doesn't expect it.
No. But do you know what I find really interesting about the whole thing? That tweet that he put out on Sunday or Saturday. And it was as if tonight, he recognised at the moment that we're relying on him a little bit, and maybe recognises that, you know, we need him to not let us down at the moment. And, you know, much like, I'm not comparing players and legacies or whatever, but so many times over the years, Lionel Messi has picked Barcelona up by the scruff of the neck and dragged them through and individually won them games. Now, Mo Salah at the moment maybe is recognising that there's a chance to take a leaf out of that book, and he's going, right now, the onus is on me to win Liverpool games on my own potentially, or at least be a massive factor in dragging them through tough spells like this. And, you know, if he wants to take that responsibility on his back, then brilliant, because he's good enough to do that and actually turn it into something substantial. And it, as I said, I don't necessarily think that it's a coincidence between the tweet that he put out the weekend, and it's as if overnight he's gone, right, I'm not letting this happen anymore. I'm going to step up.
24
and
goals
things.
This season.
Absolutely
already.
Outstanding.
24
Absolutely
goals already.
Absolutely outstanding. He'll go down as one of the best Premier League players ever. Absolutely. You know,
he should do.
They talked about it last night on Monday Night Football, didn't they, about the best value for money signing the Premier League's ever seen, and Carragher was putting Mo Salah in, you know, in the category. He wasn't quite in the top five. They were talking about Jamie Vardy a lot, but he comes out tonight, Jamie Carragher, and says, okay, I'll put Salah in, because he just every week he shows up and does something of significance.
LS15 says Salah's our best player and we should never talk about selling him. Players like that can take years to replace.
Absolutely.
So there you go. That is it, man. That is just. I feel so much better for a victory tonight, mate. I mean, I can't tell you that. I feel like this. I know every Liverpool fan around the world is feeling like this at the moment. But it's the performance.
Absolutely, and it's the optimism of the big picture. I said to Paul out there before, look, you know, the league might be gone. And, you know, we're in a top four scrap now, whether we like it or not. But the Champions League, it's so unpredictable and it gives you such a new lease of life. Because ultimately, you know, we draw another game against Leipzig, or, you know, we get through this tie, suddenly you're in a quarter final and anything's possible. And I think that's what we have to focus on right now. We need to keep things ticking over in the league. We need to get, you know, return to form over there, most importantly, probably, because we need to make sure that we're playing Champions League football next season. But if we keep putting performances like that in the Champions League, then, you know, it might be quite an exciting ride this season.
Yeah, we might be tough to beat if we can string a few games back to back like that in the competition. You're right, and it is the big question now, and we have to get on to it, I suppose. Is that us back, or is it not that simple?
I'm always hesitant to put a label on it like that, you know, especially when you've got such a big and unpredictable game coming up at the weekend. you know, we went away to Spurs and West Ham, two really important and convincing wins. Yeah, we're back. And then Brighton came. So, you know, it's difficult to put a label on it, particularly with the, you know, the still the same strange circumstances that we've had all season with the way the league is and the way football is right now. But hopefully it can't get any worse. That's all I'd say, you know what I mean? Like, hopefully we're starting to just dig ourselves out of that pit a little bit.
I'm going to say we are.
Yes, Chris. Balls on the table. Go for it.
Why not?
I think that goes in
and you go back. That's what we need to do. Yeah. Keep doing that time and time again. And Everton won't be the litmus test for this, because Everton is just such a tough game. Mm. But, you know, I don't think...
Fulham and Sheffield United might be.
They might be. They may well be. But the confidence that we should take from putting in a great performance against a very, very good side, we need to be able to carry that in. If we had one more super chat from James Watson, what if I told you we didn't really score two away goal signs? I'd say you're full of shit, James.
Yeah, I'm not sure I believe you.
No.
We were definitely away from home.
We were, yeah. And we'll be away from home in the next leg as well. And they'll count as home goals there. But no, James, thank you so much for the super chat. I'm just pulling your leg. Thank you to everybody who's watched, who's commented, who's super chat, who joined as a member, who's liked the videos, who's been part of this evening. It has felt really, really good to get back to seeing Liverpool win games of football. Thank you, Ben, for stepping in the place of Mr. Paul Machin. Less said about that, the better. We'll see you next time on the Instant Match Action. We'll be back tomorrow for the final words. So if you want the full fat Red Men TV experience, then get over to theredmentv.com. Get your subscription in. If you join as a club legend, you get Discord exclusive merchandise discounts and all kinds of goodies, free tickets to live shows when we're allowed to do that stuff, and most importantly, the final word for this game, which promises to be an absolute belter. Thanks very much. We'll see you next time. Ta-ra.
Thank you so much for watching the Redmen TV YouTube channel. Everything we do here is funded by our wonderful subscribers to theredmentv.com. Get over there, sign up, and get amazing additional content, interviews, documentaries, mini-series, and, of course, additional pre- and post-match day content.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
So, Robert, tell the people, what's a pretendian?
It's just what it sounds like, Angel. A pretend Indian.
Someone who fakes being one of us?
Someone who impersonates a native.
We're talking about real scammers and con artists.
There are pretendians teaching at universities, pretendians running governments, pretendians in Hollywood.
On our new podcast, Pretendians, we'll tell you the incredible story of these jaw-dropping frauds.
Who are they? Why do they do it? And how the heck do they keep getting away with it?
Listen to Pretendians on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.